Joining us now, a voice you've heard across the panhandle here. He actually gave me my first job ever at ESPN Orlando and had to put up with me about 18 years ago. So we date back. He's worked at some of the great places from Tampa to Houston, and now he's doing a kick-ass job over there at ESPN Upstate over in the South Carolina, the Greenville area. And joining us now, former co-host and friend, well, he was the host, Mark Ryan, joins us here. Mark, what's happening?
Cheddar Bob, how are you, my man? Pensacola, the panhandle of Florida, I have missed you guys terribly. Can I get an amen?
I'm sure somebody did out there. And Jeffrey D actually just, he said to say hi. I know as a Florida Gator alumni, remembers all the shows. And, you know, there's a ton of them out there.
We had a blast back in the day, Chad. I'm excited about your success and what you've got going up there. And it is fantastic. And I'll tell you what, just like was the case when I was in the Panhandle, brother, I am offending everybody here in the Upstate on a daily basis.
Well, you know, you didn't even have to ask. You know I am. Look, a UCF guy that walks in here with our fake national championships in Alabama country, you just know that's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you doing that? Do you claim that national championship, Chad? Do you claim that?
I got hit. Look, shopping's supposed to be a pleasure at Publix, and this like 75-year-old lady hit me with a shopping cart. This is not a joke, Mark. She hit me. This is before social distancing, which actually would have made the story better if it was during COVID. But she hit me with the shopping cart, and then looks at me, and I'm like, "I'm sorry, ma'am. Am I in your way for cheese?" And I realize I'm wearing a 2017 national title UCF shirt, which I just razz people. I know we didn't win it, but and she looked at it, and she had her Alabama hat on, and she didn't say a word and just kept walking. So, yes, that's how I'm getting treated down here.
Oh, my God. Wow. That is incredible. So let me ask you a question, brother.
Okay.
I left the Panhandle in 2012, right? So I left it in March 2012. How has the landscape changed since I left?
A ton. I mean, the beaches are still there. Skanska screwed a lot of people of trying to get to the beach. But overall, it's been a it's still the same old panhandle. The you got your main teams out there, Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Auburn, LSU. UWF, by the way, I know you called games for the Argos. Yeah. They won a national title, which was pretty awesome.
Love that. Yeah. Love that, man. That's incredible. Man, great to be on with you, brother.
And Mark, you had me on last week making a pick for Boston. We had some fun up there making the pick for the Patriots, even though I'd love to trade up and get anyone but Mary Poppins / Cam Newton. But when it comes down to looking at what's going on in your area, Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback that you guys have covered for so long. He just got married, and, he put it in a way, and I was listening to Drew yesterday, who hosted for me, about, sports isn't always life, and we know that. We've gone through ups and downs. For the people that didn't know, Mark and I were roommates. He had to actually live with my, which is scary for anybody that has with – trying to clean up after me. But overall, Mark, the time that we've talked about life and family and the things that are the most important when it comes down to it, I think that we need to look back and realize that it's something that Trevor Lawrence has said too when he just got married. It looks like he's going into football with his head on straight, like he's already a veteran. Is that how you perceived him covering him?
He's an incredibly mature guy. Incredibly mature guy. An incredibly mature guy, Chad. And I'll tell you what, man. He is somebody who is incredible to consider, and incredibly mature. And it's really something to have that kind of maturity when you are his age, right? When you are his age, it's really something to have that level of maturity. So what I would say, Chad, is this. I think here's a guy who's got his head screwed on right, okay? I am not who he is. I have a singular obsession to be great at this, to be great at sports media. I obsessed about it when my full-time opportunity with Booger McFarland in Tampa was taken away from me, right? I was determined to get back to being full-time, right? That was I was hell-bent on that, right? And so he's a little bit different. He's wired a little bit differently. He has the Tim Tebow, right? The Tim Tebow mindset where, I'm passionate about this, but it's not my everything. But I'll tell you what I like about Trevor Lawrence, Chad. He does have the fire. You hear some of the comments, you read the Sports Illustrated interview, right? And you're worried, man, is this guy going to pull a Calvin Johnson? Is he going to pull an Andrew Luck? Is he just going to peace out? That's the risk, right? You know, Bart Scott said on Keyshawn, Jay, and Zub in the ESPN Radio Morning Show, he said, well, I'm not playing for you then. Like, if you're not Super Bowl or bust, I'm not playing for you. I'm different than he is, Chad, because I am obsessed. I think balance in life is a little bit overrated. I say, be Kobe Bryant. Have the obsession to be great. Don't stop at anything less. Trevor Lawrence has a different approach, but, man, he has still achieved greatness.
And you know what? He has, and everything he's done and what he did right away stepping in against the juggernaut in Alabama. And in a game where everybody was sort of sitting back and saying, okay, it's just a matter of time before Alabama comes back and wins this game, and they never did. And that was Trevor Lawrence really first time in the spotlight after taking over for Kelly Bryant and the opportunities. And he's proven it throughout his career. And you know what's perfect is, like you said, he's got his head on straight. He's determined. He's a man of faith, family, football. And then two worlds collide because his new head coach is going to be Urban Meyer. So there you go.
Yeah, no, completely, completely. And there you have it. And can, I don't know if I would say Lawrence and Urban, you know, personality-wise are a mix. What do you know of Urban Meyer? He's got that obsession, right? The obsession burns his ass out after 3 or 4 years everywhere he goes. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have that. So are those two guys a mentality fit? I think that is a great question. But I think they're going to be successful. You know, 6-11 in a 17-game NFL season is the over-under for the Jags next year. And that's a tough one, man. But I'm inclined to say over. I'm inclined to say Urban and Trevor and that team with that excitement in that city, perhaps a full attendance crowd, I think they could go 7-10, 8-9. I think that's realistic. I think that's within their reach next year.
Yeah, Mark, and I think Drew here, from when, and one of the things that I talked about yesterday, after reading the story, my initial thought, and after watching some of the people, I know Lewis Riddick had some things to say on ESPN about, you know, what if Justin Fields would have said this, what would the response be, but it seems like a lot of the guys now who are college athletes, they have a good grasp on that there's more to life than just football. Like, of course, they're going to do the best that they can, but they understand that your career is maybe between 8 and 12 seasons on average. It might even be less than that. And then afterwards, you have to find something to do. So I think the fact that Trevor Lawrence, while recognizing that there's more to life, has also said, I'm just not like I'm not going to try. Like, I'm a competitor. I'm going to do the best that I can at what I'm doing. He understands that when he's done, he knows that life will be okay. Or even if he were, hopefully it doesn't happen, but if he were to have a career-ending injury, he would be okay, and that it's not like his life is completely over because he can't play football.
Yeah, you know what? And so people talk about Trevor Lawrence, right, and what is he going to be at the next level? And I'd be curious as to yours, Drew's, and yours, Chad's NFL comparison for him. You know, the thing to me that, you know, if there's a knock on Trevor, and this is what I've said here, right, not easy to say in Clemson country, is that I didn't think Trevor had a ton of unstoppable moments in college, right? Like, you think about the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, when they're on Patrick Mahomes, when they're on, they're unstoppable. Trevor Lawrence played very well within Clemson's system. He had an unstoppable game against Alabama in the championship his freshman year, and outside of that, there was just a quarterback who exceeded in Clemson's system. He wasn't as unstoppable as Deshaun Watson. We had a, you know, who is the GOAT Clemson quarterback conversation. Deshaun Watson had 88% of the vote. Why?
Wow.
Because he's better than Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is Andrew Luck. I think he's going into an Andrew Luck situation with no offensive line. And I worry that Trevor Lawrence, like Megatron, like Andrew Luck, could walk away if he's not enjoying his time in the league.
Mark, we couldn't have you on and not ask you a Florida Gator question as your team gets ready. Kyle Trask, expectations at the next level for him. I know, you know, after a shoe throw out there at the Swamp and a couple guys missing and sitting out the bowl game, quickly the tide turned from a guy that was one of the great college quarterbacks for a single season ever to, this guy maybe will be all right. Look what he did without his guys. What are your expectations for Kyle Trask and for next season for your Gators, and if Emory Jones is that guy?
Well, I've yet to have anybody give me any sort of explanation at all as to how Mac Jones is better than Kyle Trask. Chad, I think they're the same guy. You know, they perform well in a system. They're accurate with the football. Neither has this laser rocket arm. Neither is mobile at all, right? Do you mean to tell me that Kyle Trask would not have lit it up with Devontae Smith, right? Do you mean to tell me that Mac Jones wouldn't have put up good numbers with Kyle Trask's complement of weapons, right? I think they're kind of the same guy. I think when you look back at it, I think the number one factor as to whether these guys hit or miss, and if you look at first-round quarterbacks, Chad, over the last 10 years, 60% of them have busted. If you set the bar at being a solid starter, 60% of first-round quarterbacks the last 10 years have failed to hit that bar, right? Very few quarterbacks have signed a second contract with the original team that drafted them. So if Kyle Trask goes to a good situation, right? If Kyle Trask goes to a New Orleans with a Sean Payton and Sean Payton grooms him to be the eventual starter, I think that could be a great fit. If he goes to the Jets, game over, right? If Mac Jones goes to the 49ers, great fit. If he goes to the Atlanta Falcons, game over, right? It's so much is dependent upon situationally. You and I, Chad, have been in good radio situations in our career. We've been in bad situations in our career. Some things you just can't help, brother. You know, now you're working with good people. I'm working with good people, and look at what we're capable of.
Well, and you know, and Mark, it's one that is, as we know in this business, going up and down and having so many opportunities. But Drew, you were talking about to add on to the situation with Mac Jones and Kyle Trask. I know you want to get that in.
Because I posed the question to Coach earlier: is if Mac Jones didn't have Devontae Smith in for one game or for two games, does he struggle? Or say Najee Harris is out and Devontae Smith is out, like how Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts were out, and Kyle Trask he struggled a little bit. Does Mac Jones also struggle? So I think that's one of the easiest things to compare is Mac Jones looked great when he had Najee Harris and he had Devontae Smith and he had that offensive line protecting him. What does he look like without those guys? And I think that's, like what you said, Mark, is fascinating because it's the same in every sport, it seems, that, but particularly with football and quarterbacks, it all depends on the system that you go to and the coaching staff and the way that even the organization is going right now. Like, nobody wants to go to Houston at all because they know that it's a dumpster fire.
Completely. Completely. It's entirely situational. I don't think David Carr, guys, was a bust. I think David Carr was ruined behind the worst offensive line in NFL history. My question about Carolina in our area trading for Sam Darnold, have the Jets irreparably damaged that guy? I don't want to give up a second-round pick. He might be ruined, right? You don't know that question. You don't know the answer to that question. I think it's entirely situational. I think that's the number one factor in success or failure for draft-eligible quarterbacks.
Yeah, and also the right PSI in a football, correct? That's what I was taught. Those are all.
Can you believe how big a deal we made of that? How big a deal we made of PSI? Who the hell knows what PSI even is, man? Give me a break.
Roger Goodell spent $2.1 million of the NFL's money, which is chump change
getting
for him.
Right?
Well, no, that was Bob Kraft. That was Bob Kraft. But overall, it was one where he was just a personal vendetta, and that's why we wear the shirts with the big red nose on it. It's just, Mark, we could go all day. We do have to take a break here in a second, but I think you agree right now that the Red Sox are 9-4 and that the Yankees are 5-7. We should just end the season right now and call it a day. Is that fair enough?
Listen, Chad, I need more time to bust your hump on this. I really need
more time.
We're
so bad. I don't know how we're five games above 500.
Man, I'll tell you, in our area, people are jumping off the bridge about the Braves. You know, 5-8 to start the year. I tried to give them something to feel better about themselves, Chad. Oh, it doesn't matter how you start. Then I did research on the last five World Series champions. Four out of the five of them won twice as many games as they lost up until April 16th. Four out of the last five World Series champions. Your sorry Boston Red Sox in 2018 were 13-1 on April 16th. And I'm like, Braves fans, I got nothing for you. You're not winning the World Series this year. Sorry, got nothing for you.
The only thing
hey,
that's
man,
normal is
–
yeah. Hey, Mark, it's always great to catch up. I know a lot of people – remember your voice and all the years. And like I said, thank you for giving me my first opportunity at ESPN Orlando and the fun we used to have with Howie Schwab and all the guys out there. But it is really fun to catch up. I was glad to get to join you on your show last week. And thank you for repaying the favor over here to everybody on the Panhandle.
Man, what you've done with the opportunity is awesome, and I'm so happy for your success. And to everyone in the Panhandle, love you guys, miss you guys. I'll let you know if I'm in the area anytime soon. Got to get back to them beautiful beaches, man. Thank you so much, Chad. Have a great show, man. Take care.
You too.